Well, hi church. It is great to be with you again, and we have something special for you. It is a special day. It is Father's Day, so I want to wish you guys a happy Father's Day. And our special moment here is that we have someone who was doing a lot of things behind the camera, and he was just dying to get in front. So we're going to be joined today by the Honorable Slim Billy Malstead. And we got a little something for you right now, just to kind of light the spirit here. So here we go. We seek after your presence. We invite your presence. Be with us, Holy Spirit. Wherever we're watching this, taking this in, Lord God, we just invite you to be with us. And you are our audience. You are the end and the beginning, God. You are the Alpha and the Omega, Lord. We worship your holy name. We want to be moving with you, moving with your kingdom, Lord, as we are about to sing here, God. From eternity to eternity. Worthy of it.
Your kingdom will never end. You are the one. Thank you, Pat, and the worship team. You guys and gals are always doing such a great job, and they're so faithful to be here each week for us. It's hopefully everyone out there is doing well. We've had our prayer meeting, we had a men's and a women's meeting, and we'll be addressing some of those things in the future. But for today, I'm still preaching from the stage at SCC. I have two in the congregation, one Ethan Pierce running the camera, and a very handsome elderly gentleman named Bill Malstead. So I am very glad to be here. Special day for me as a dad. I am the father of four, and I am the grandfather of 10. I consider it the greatest privilege in my life to be a dad. It is such a gift. But you know, they say what goes around comes around. There's a saying, by the time a son realizes his father is usually right, he has a son who thinks his father is usually wrong. He grows up, what goes around comes around. Mark Twain said it well when he said, when I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant that I could barely stand to be in the same room with him or have the old man around. But when I turned 21, I was astonished at how much the old man had learned in 7 years. Frederick Douglass, a great African-American writer and promulgator of civil rights around the time of the Civil War, said it's easier to build strong children than to repair beaten men. So much of what we do is a repair job. And don't get me wrong, I mean, we are called to be repairers of the breach, to repair the saints. Much of what a pastor does is to help to be part of a redemptive process in a person's life who's been broken or hurt through tragedy and circumstance. But today I want to talk about the standard of what it really is for fathers. Most of what I'll be saying this morning applies to fathers, but mothers and anyone out there, I hope that there'll be something in this for you as well. They say if a psychiatrist could get 5 minutes with you, and that's all he had, many say that the most important thing he'd want to talk to you about is your father. Your father, what he was like to you, or the absence of your father, or you didn't even know your dad. Maybe you came from a very difficult and abusive situation, but whatever it was, it helps and definitely has an influence on our identity, on our security, and how we love other people. I want to say something at the very outset of this message. Please hear me loud and clear. This message is not against single moms. Single moms, you do an awesome job in light of divorce and death and being a widow and so many. I am married to the most amazing woman, have been for 48 years, and she was raised by a single mom. So my hat's off to you, but this isn't about how good a job single moms do. This is about the standard that God Almighty has for fathers and how we need to move into it. So today might have a lot of mixed emotions for some of you. It's Father's Day. Some of you might have anger and sadness. Others of you might be joyful and grateful for your dad. But whatever it is, I hope you'll see that there's something in here for all of us. Psalm 127, 3 through 5 says, "Behold, children are a gift in the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They shall not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gates." Maturity always takes place in a relational context. It's not hypothetical or academic. It's like iron sharpening iron. It's very real, provoking one another to love and good works in the context of community and family and faith. It's God's ways. Fathers are called to be leaders, the head of their home, as servant leaders. And it's so important to the welfare of our home and society that we have good fathers and men of God. When a father violates a trust, it casts a deep shadow over his progeny. And the damage and the destruction can be generational. We as fathers too often underestimate our influence. And yet we're all too aware of our own father's influence on us. As fathers, we're to father beyond our own families. It was never to be a secret, not secret, but a selfish thing. Psalm 68, 5 through 6 says, "A father of the fatherless and a judge for the widows is God in his holy habitation. God makes a home for the lonely. He leads prisoners into prosperity. Only the rebellious dwell in a parched land." One of my favorite people, and maybe your favorite people, is a woman named Rhonda Reardon, who has been just a rock for many years to so many people. And Rhonda said this is one of her life verses: "God makes a home for the lonely." She never married. Both of her parents were gone by the time she was 11. She has an amazing life story of overcoming and graduating from college, putting herself through, getting her master's, becoming mayor of our very own city, and now she works for a state senator and has done so many other things. But to be a father is to be fatherly, and there are people out there. Rhonda found father through the community and certain people like a Bob Johnson. I've been like an older brother, and there's others she could name, so I'm not going to give her testimony. But a father of the fatherless are we men of God. Amen. Amen. Billy, get it, amen. All right, an amen on that. Our Heavenly Father is a caring Father. He's a provider, a protector. He loves His children. He is sacrificial, and He's honorable to us. There are no orphans in the kingdom of God. We're all adopted into the family of God. We all belong. Fatherhood is a sacred trust to be revered and honored. So no matter what your situation with your earthly father, today I want to say, you belong. You belong. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're in this together with our wonderful Heavenly Father. So as I'm proceeding here this morning on this journey, I want to go back in history. And there's a caveat to this. There are no perfect fathers except our Father who is in heaven. Jesus in Hebrews 1 2 through 3 says, "He is the radiance of His glory, the exact representation of His nature." If you want to know what God looks like, look at Jesus. Or who God is, look at Jesus. God's plan, He's our God, our Father, but His plan with Abraham as a father and choice, He chose a father to make things straight and get things back aligned with His redemptive blessing. Let's go back to Genesis first. He was a wonderful father to Adam. He put him in the garden. He created Eve. He gave him direction, vocation, and fellowship. Despite God's goodness, Adam sinned, passing on a sinful legacy to all of us. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. Sin makes us want to hide, cover ourselves, and blame shift. I got to tell you, as the chiefest of sinners here, I am one of the world's great blame shifters. I don't do it at church because I'm too holy. But my dear wife has said this to me more than once. She said, Kevin, you're blame shifting. I am not blame shifting. And then out of that, we had seen the movie Goldfinger years ago. Goldfinger, you're the one with the... So Dudley developed into her own repertoire. Blame shifter, you're the one with the blaming shift. Blame shifter. Unfortunately, I'm still working on that, but I'm better. You can ask Dudley. You could ask her. I think I'm doing better. I'm working on it. But sin separates us from God. It's the price, and its price is death. Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, his Son. So, man was removed from the garden, and all of Adam's children, all of humanity, are born into sin and its consequences. I know that we're really dealing in a difficult time with racism and all these different things, but behind every ism is our sin nature. And we're dealing with sin, falling short of the glory of God. Cain was Adam's first son, was warned that sin was crouching at the door. A jealous Cain murdered his brother and then plea bargained with God. Humanity goes from a perfect man to a sinful man to a dysfunctional family. Murder, shame, guilt, blame shifting and estrangement from God. There was so much violence in the earth that God, it says, he regretted making man. With the exception of Noah, whom he found righteous. Noah survives the flood and is the father of three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And he repopulates the earth. By the time you get to Genesis chapter 11, they're building the Tower of Babel. Man is. Babel means confusion. They're building the Tower of Confusion. First high rise was a confused place. Because man was seeking to organize himself apart from God. They wanted to make a name for themselves. They were the first secularists. Secularism is defined as a doctrine that morality should be based solely in regard to the well-being of mankind in this present life. I don't mean to be rude about that, but one of my favorite songs is Imagine by John Lennon. I like the tune. I don't like the words. Imagine there's no heaven above us. There's no hell below us. Imagine there's no countries, nothing to live or die for. Imagine we have no possessions. Imagine that we're living today, total existentialism. It's a picture of utopia. The Garden of Eden has passed, but there's another garden coming where the Son of God is coming back and every knee will bow, every tongue will confess to the glory of God the Father. In the meantime, he's drawing all things back to himself, and he's got an army of priests out there that love you and care about you, and his word will not return void. As surely as he lives, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of God. Utopias are some kind of idealistic, man-made, visionary, transcendent attempt at a perfection that doesn't work. Plato tried it. Thomas Hobbes tried it. Spiritual utopian cults have tried it. Marx, Lenin, Pol Pot. There is no utopia. And people that believe in them to create them have to use violence. Secularism is one of the most prominent philosophies in present-day culture. It marginalizes and excludes considerations and belief in God and allegiance to Him. Well, what would you do if you had the world in such a mess? How would you save the world? Not talking about Jesus coming, but at that time, how would you save the world? What would you? I got an idea. I'll pick out a father. I'll pick out one man, and him as good as dead. That's the one I'll do. Okay, Genesis chapter 12, 1 through 3. He's talking to Abraham. He says, I will make a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you and curse you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, Abraham, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. His plan to get back on redemptive track after the flood, after the fall, after the flood, after the tower, was to pick one man who was a father. His name, Abraham, means exalted father. He would change it to Abraham, which means father of many multitudes. Today, in 2020, he is the center of Islam and revered in Islam, Orthodox Judaism, and Christianity. All claim Abraham as their father. This one man did indeed become a father of nations. Amazing. Abraham had no church. He had no television. He had no iPad. He had no iPad watch. He had no internet. He wrote no books. He had no accountability group. He had no Bible. He may have been illiterate. We don't know. I'm not saying that being illiterate doesn't mean you're not smart. It just means you haven't learned to read and write. We don't know. Yet he was God's choice. And later in Scripture, over and over, he says, Abraham, the friend of God. He was called the friend of God. He chooses a man who wasn't a father to be a father. Why Abraham? Why was he so special? I don't know. I don't know. Except Scripture says he believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. And all I can come up with, he believed God in ways that other human beings didn't, and God knew something about his heart, and he became the father of our faith. All who believe with the faith of Abraham are children of Abraham. Reckoned to him as righteousness, his faith. If we have the faith of Abraham, we're Abraham's children. The question this morning is not whether you believe in God, it's rather if you believe God. Abraham was not a person that just believed in God or the man upstairs or I'm spiritual and I know there's something beyond myself. He believed God and he knew God and he was God's friend. He was God's servant. He put it all on the line with God 4,000 years ago. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God's plan to influence the earth for goodness, to create a nation of priests through fathers and families, still speaks today. God still influencing the world through fathers who are in right relationship with Christ. I want to give us seven, I call them points for fathers. Something practical, you know, you want to be practical. So number one, for dad, Abraham was a man of faith and prayer, of courage and principle. Whatever else he was as a father, most importantly, he was a man of God first. You cannot sub out your responsibility to be a man of God. A youth worker, a preacher, a minister, a great church, a wonderful worship service, books, tapes, radio stations, television. You can't sub that out. You got to own it. Own your fatherhood. Own it. Enjoy it. Pour into it. Impart. And you'll get an Isaac and Jacob. Secondly, we are to father their hearts as well as their actions. Remember, maturity of children primarily takes place in the context of family. Our society today, you just have to watch the news, it's a negative chain reaction because of renegade fathers. A broken chain and a generational dysfunction affects all of society. Father their hearts. The more a child becomes aware of a father's willingness to listen, the more a father will begin to hear. George MacDonald. This is for John Norton. It's a wise father that knows his own child. Shakespeare. You ever thought about that? Do you really know your kid, your child, your daughter, your son? Who would be more important to know that child than you? Can't sub that out. Not to the teachers, not to the coaches, you. Thirdly, you can only do the best you can. I meet too many fathers that have beat themselves all the way to Hades about how one of their kids turned out and they're always down. I tried, I did this. Hey, just look the Lord. I did the best I could with what I have, Lord. You can't do any better than that. And the reason the prodigal son is in there, it wasn't the father that was wrong, the prodigal was wrong. You could do things right and your child still in their own sinful nature rebel and go their own way. That's not a result of bad parenting always. It can be, but it's not always. So don't beat yourself up. Your children, especially grown children, are accountable for their own choices. And they will stand before God themselves. Fourthly, to be a good example, there are three generations of testimony with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And you know their stories. They were not perfect, but I often say this, I heard it years ago, but the testing of your fatherhood or your parenthood is not your children. It's your grandchildren. Because if you raise children and your children then raise children with God in the midst of them, you've imparted something to your children, which means you are a really good parent. But if you only get it to your children, will they be able to impart it to their children? I want to say fifthly, well, let me just say this about being an example. If church is not vital to dad, why should it be vital to the children? If the growth in God is not important to dad, why should it be to them? I mean, that's a really good question. Fifthly, you've heard me say this before about being a velvet-covered brick. Do I get an amen out there?
Yes,
velvet-covered brick. Don't abdicate spiritual responsibility and family leadership. Serve and discipline out of love. When a father is absent during the day and returns home at 6, his children receive only his temperament, not his teaching. Your temperament has a lot to do with how children, they know whether they can get around dad. They know whether dad's edgy. They know whether dad's got a short fuse. They know dad wants his quiet time away from everybody. And it can create things, your temperament. So be wary of that temperament, that it comes home with graciousness and love. Sixthly, teach them to honor. Someone asked me that the other night at the men's meeting. How do you teach children to honor honor father and mothers and others? The best way is to model it yourself. That your kids just see that you honor others. The way you honor people in authority, the way you honor people under authority, the way you honor the person at the when you go out to eat, the way you honor a parking lot attendant, the way you honor a pastor, or the way you honor a friend, the way you honor your brother or your sister. It's manifested esteem. So teach them to honor. There's no bullies. No bullies in the family. A bully in your family needs to, dad, no bullies. Honor your father and mother, grandparents, elders, disadvantaged, all men. Honor God and his word. And seventh, don't limit God because of your background or circumstances. If you had no dad, or you had an absentee father, or suffered abuse or abandonment, then you get to be the first one to break that chain in your generation and start a godly legacy, because you're a father and it's a sacred trust given to you from God. Being a good and godly father is the key to influencing this world we live in for goodness and righteousness through Jesus Christ. If you're not a father, be fatherly for a man. Let God expand your borders. Let the Abrahamic blessing come upon you, blessed to be a blessing. I was with Matt Watts yesterday, and he's the head football coach at Gordina's High School, and they have a character program there. The school is 99% Hispanic, and he was saying, Kevin, I am so excited about this character program. I said, wait, no, you're the offensive coordinator and the head coach. You've got a lot of responsibility going for you. How are you going to do all that? He said, I know, I'm going to do that, but I'm so excited to be able to try my best to teach them character because they're so hungry for it when I talk about it. And I have great, great things with that. It's really why I'm there. I loved coaching, but the main reason is to influence character. Isn't that awesome? Someone said, it may be hard on some fathers because they don't have a son, but it's much harder on a boy that doesn't have a father. A lot could be said about this today. I want to say it's a great day. It's Happy Father's Day. And I want to close by sharing something personal about my own father, who was a wonderful man. He passed away 24 years ago this month, or last May 28th. And my brother Brian and I wrote his eulogy, and this is the last paragraph of it, and I wanted you to know what I think of that, because Billy Graham said this: the greatest tribute a boy can give his father is to say, when I grow up, I want to be just like you. This is what we wrote together, and this is my brother Brian reading it. Greatness is measured in many ways: achievements, awards, fame, and financial success. When I say great, I think of these things, but that is not what made my father great. He was great because of his heart. He was great because he made those around him greater. He led by example. He lived by principle. He persevered by faith, and he fought with courage. He spoke with kindness. He was, if it's possible, to be loyal to a fault. His life was never for sale, nor his purpose a random guess. He never wavered, and he was steadfast in temperament and committed to the highest ideals. An officer and a gentleman, integrity could be found in every aspect of his life. In the field, his men came first. At home, it was my mother, Mary, and the boys, the three of us, David, Brian, and myself. In law, it was the need of his clients. We have never known a finer man than my father. Dad, we will miss your company, the warmth of your love, the steadfast support you gave us. David, Kevin, and I have been blessed by God to have had you as our father. Soldier, statesman, lawyer, husband, father, grandfather, friend, servant of Christ, and a Christian by example. In all these roles, you excelled. May God bless you and keep you, and together with Mom, may you enter the everlasting peace and contentment in God's kingdom. Amen. I want to be the best I can. In the years I've got in front of me, I want to be a good dad to those four rascals that I raised with Dudley, who are now all married, and three out of four have children. And I want to be a father in the Lord to some men that God has given me in the Spirit to influence for eternal purposes, that whatever in me or us that has anything to offer, we want to do that for the kingdom of God. Thanks for listening. Thanks for who you are. Dads, you can do this. You really can. Okay, we're going to segue now to videos, and then Pat's going to take us out with a song of worship. God bless, and happy Father's Day. Amen.
Hi, SEC. This is Mike Spinello. Just want to wish everyone a happy Father's Day. Such an important day where we recognize the role that we each play in our families, in our community. The role as a father, I know, is the biggest honor that I have as a father and a husband, and the biggest job that I have. And trusting in the Lord to enable me to do that is so important. So in a minute, we're going to hear from some grandfathers, some fathers, and they're going to encourage us with their testimony. And I just wanted to read from Charles Stanley. He has some good things to say about parents and fathers in particular. And he says, "What you do will always be more powerful than what you say. For a legacy to have maximum impact, beliefs must line up with words, which in turn must line up with deeds. There must be a consistency of Christ-likeness throughout a parent's life if the spiritual legacy of a parent is going to be of greatest value." So obviously that's our prayer, that the legacy we leave our kids will just have a life impact on them. So happy Father's Day. It's such a big day, and we look forward to being all together again soon. Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day. My name is Reuben Green. Barbara and I have been married for almost 37 years. We have three adult children and six grandchildren. Today, I'd like to discuss the legacies I'd like to leave with my grandchildren and children. And these are listed in order of priority. Number one, put God first. The scriptures talk about be careful to obey his commandments. And it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Number two, put family first. We need to guard and support those in our family. We want this to be a nurturing environment for our family members. Number three, education. Be a lifelong learner. In scriptures, it says, teach your children. Teach your children when you're walking on the street, when you're in the house, when you're going to bed, when you're eating. It is a continuous process. In Acts, it talked about the Bereans who were studying the scripture in eagerness. And when they heard Paul, they wanted to make sure that what he had said to them was accurate. Number four, friends. Who you hang out with is who you become. We need to choose our friends wisely. Number five, never give up hope. Barbara's parents grew up in a Great Depression. They both were in poverty. Her dad was blind in one eye. Yet her mother became a nurse at a hospital here in Los Angeles, and her father became a successful entrepreneur. Virgil, a Roman poet in 50 BC, wrote, "Nescit male," which means yield not to misfortunes. My mother survived Nazi concentration camps. She was in them for 5 years. She said she would wake up in the morning sometimes and she would see people who were alive the night before, but were dead when she had woke up in the morning. And I'd asked her, why do you think these people had died overnight? Was it from starvation? Was it from disease? And she said, no, they had given up hope. And she said she never gave up hope. She always thought that she would make it through. And the people who died the night before had given up hope. And she said, no matter how bad it got, she never gave up. So these are my five legacies I like to leave for my children and grandchildren.
Hello, Saddleback Covenant Church. I just want to wish all of you a wonderful and blessed Father's Day. I'm out here at the 4U Ranch with my great friends, Fatty and Jane, and Jerry and Donna. Just having a great time. But I just wanted to take a moment and tell you just how precious family is, how precious our kids are, how precious my grandchildren are. I always like to say that my grandkids, I think I love them more than my children, but that's just not true. I love them all equally, and I just wanted to let you know, let them know. And I just want to tell you that family is the most precious thing. Take time out of your life and invest in them, and you'll be paid back many times over. Have a great Father's Day.
Bunny! I saw a bunny. I'll go chase after him.
Greetings from Charlotte, Tennessee. Lisa and I are out here visiting Philip and Alex and our new grandbaby girl, Cassidy Drew. I just wanted to take a moment just to say the importance that I feel that leaving a legacy behind has become even more important to me in these recent years, months, actually. One of my earliest memories is in kindergarten. I remember they had a box, and in that box was clothes that you would put on. And I would fight to get the tie so I could play the daddy. I wanted to be a dad. So fast forward to fifth grade, my mom told me one time that my fifth grade teacher told me, you are going to make a great dad. And I don't know why she said that, but it stuck with me. And for me, the legacy of fatherhood is incredibly important, and the amount of time and effort that it takes is so worthwhile. I wanted to also say that one of the things that was so important to me was bedtime with my kids. And there's a real popular song going around right now called The Blessing, and it states, the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine on you. Well, Elise and I have been singing that song to our children since they were little, and possibly every night. But I wanted to just tell you that that is part of the fatherhood, of leaving a legacy, is putting a blessing on your family, putting a blessing on your children, and knowing that that blessing will be carried on to the generations to come. So I say to you as well, the Lord bless you and keep you and help you to leave a legacy.
So some of the joys of being a father is just being a dad. Your kids' unconditional love, what they show you, doesn't matter what's going on around in the world around you. When you're with your kids, it just takes you back to the things that really matter. Their joy, having fun with them, playing catch, running, you know, wrestling, all that stuff. It's so great when you come home and they come running home to you, running to you. It's just wonderful. I've been blessed to be a dad. The legacy that I like to leave is that, you know, I leave a lasting impact on them. I love being able to watch them grow and see what's, you know, what makes them tick and their personalities growing. I love that about being a dad. And I want them most of all to remember that we love them and that we're building them up into the young woman and young man that they're going to be, that they'll love the Lord and that they'll love each other and others just as much. So that's it. Those are the joys of being a father. Happy Father's Day.
Hey guys.
So, speaking on fatherhood, joys of fatherhood. When I think about being a dad, and there's so many countless joys. A couple that stand out really in my mind are just seeing your child grow, seeing your child conquer things in life and learn things, and being able to watch that process has just been so joyful to me in my life. And instrumental for my growth as well too. Another thing that really stands out is just when my girls or your son comes up to you and just hugs you and tells you that they love you, and it's just so unconditional and so unsolicited, and it just brings such joy and peace to my heart. As far as legacy, we've talked a lot, you know, in our men's group, just regarding, you know, there's kind of two categories that we as men fall into, is, you know, either you're a chain breaker or you're a legacy extender. And I definitely fall more in the category of chain breaking. And so that's definitely, without a doubt, the legacy that I want to leave, is just to have my kids and their kids and then all the rest of the generations after me just look back and say that I made the changes, that I worked hard to break the negative cycle that have been in my family forever. And in doing so, it just freed them up to be so much more successful and to allow the Lord to love on them and just bring a joy and success in their life that wouldn't have been there otherwise. All right, thanks for letting me share. Happy Father's Day.
Good morning, SEC family, and happy Father's Day. The question I had is, what are the joys of fatherhood, and what is the legacy you want to leave behind? And I love being a dad. I think it's a very profound experience. I like the scene in Forrest Gump when he sees that he has a son for the first time, and Jenny asks what he's thinking. He says that, "I've never seen anything more beautiful." And all it is this little boy watching Sesame Street in the living room. And I feel like as a dad, I have so many experiences like that with my daughters, and just how much I love them and how precious they are. And what's amazing is how God feels for us, you know, magnified by infinity. And I think that's one of the biggest joys about fatherhood, is learning that my Heavenly Father feels infinitely more than I feel for my daughters. And it's a very nice place to be. We love you, and I can't wait to meet all again, and hope you guys have a great weekend. Love you guys.
Well, thanks, Kevin. Thank you for that. As we go out today, I'd like to leave you with some scripture, Malachi 4:6. "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the hearts of children to their fathers." So be blessed. Thank you, Lord. My life is in your hands.
understand. My life is in the hands of the bigger hand. I give it all to you now. Trust and that you make something beautiful out of me. My is in the hands of the Maker of heaven.
Hallelujah. We bless your holy name today, Lord God. And everybody back home, be blessed. Happy Father's Day. And we'll see you next time.